This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load, and as we do, we're going to have a discussion with a man that more people read his stuff than anybody else in the United States, and that is Dean Weingarten. How's it going?
It's going very well. I am happy to be here, Bill, and as usual, I'm sure we'll have a good discussion.
Well, let's start with Michigan. Michigan seems to figure a lot on some of the stuff you've written lately. Tell me about what's been going on in Michigan.
Well, there's a lot going on in Michigan, and but the big thing in the last about 2 weeks was the Secretary of State, forgive me if my pronunciation is off, Jocelyn Benson, took the step of just arbitrarily banning open carry at election polls on election day. Most states do not have a ban on open carry at election day. I have to admit that Arizona is one of the states that does. But that ban was passed through regular due process by the legislature. In Michigan, open carry has been legal forever. I don't believe they've ever had a ban on open carry. So on this election, Secretary of State Benson, who was supported in her election bid by the George Soros Foundations, I think they call it the SOS Save Our State or something like that foundation. It's a ripoff of Secretary of State, where they spend money on radical left Secretary of States because the Secretary of State in most states control the election process.
Right.
So they're kind of going off the old Marxian nostrum that it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes. And the Secretary of State generally counts the votes. But in this case, Benson said that I believe it's in my power to ban people who openly carry at elections because they intimidate voters. And we have a law against intimidating voters, and since just being there intimidates voters, I'm going to ban any open carry within 100, I think it was 100 yards, might be 100 feet, of any polling place. And in spite of, there is no law that allows her to do this. Now, interestingly enough, an assistant attorney general, the attorney general, Dana Nessel, by the way, backs her up. They're both fairly radical leftists that were elected in 2018 on an anti-Trump wave. And the assistant attorney general said, well, there isn't any law that says it's legal to open carry. And since there's no law to saying it's legal, then we can make it illegal because the legislature hasn't opined upon it. And there's some feedback, pushback, I should say. There are several Michigan sheriffs that say they will not enforce the order against open carry at election polls. And there's also the head of the Michigan police chiefs, which are 385. Michigan police chiefs is probably a significant number in Michigan.
Right.
Has said that there's no law banning open carry, and Secretary of State Benson can't just make up law on her own. So what happened was that Tom Lambert, who I've spoken with a few times, He's a power inside Michigan Open Carry and Michigan Open Carry and Michigan Gun Owners. And I think there's at least one other group in there, Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners. They all joined a lawsuit against Secretary of State Benson. The edict was pronounced on the 16th of October. The lawsuit against the edict was filed on the 22nd of October. Now, the other part of that is that just yesterday, on the 27th of October, and this is a second article I have out there, Judge Christopher Murray, Murray, M-U-R-R-R-A-Y, at the Michigan Courts of Claims, struck down the order by Secretary of State Benson. And he said, you can't just make up law. You don't have the power. It's what it is the legislature has the power to do that, or at least, you know, if anybody has the power, the legislature does. He didn't opine on whether it's constitutional or not. He said, but you don't have the power to issue that order. You can't just order diktats because you're Secretary of State. And he said that the law in Michigan is very clear, and it says that the Secretary of State is to enforce election law. It doesn't say anything about making election law. And she can formulate rules, but they have to follow Michigan's version of the Administrative Procedures Act,
right?
Which requires public input, a certain amount of time that the rule is promulgated. And in Michigan, I think it's even part of that law is that the legislature has to grant her the authority to make the rule in the first place. None of that has happened. She just issued an edict. And it's kind of frightening that the attorney general agreed with her and says, yeah, we can do that. You know, we're the executive branch. But this shows the wisdom of having a separation of powers. Here you have the executive branch saying, we can do this, and the legislative branch, which is majority Republican in Michigan, say, no, you guys can't do it. We never gave you the authority. And then you have the court system judging between them. And the judge, Judge Murray, says, no, the law is clear. The Secretary of State does not have the authority to do that.
Have you ever noticed how the legislative branch never learns from these kind of instances? Because what they did was they got out there and said, okay, in the law it doesn't state that it's legal to carry at the polling place, so we can declare it illegal.
Well, that's what the executive branch did.
That's what they did, right? That's what the executive branch interpreted, since the legislative branch did not say.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, yes.
So, you know, in the future, I mean, if I were a consultant for any legislators, I'd be out there. When you write these laws, first of all, every time they write a law, it seems like somebody's going to abuse that at some point down the road.
Right.
Some leftist is going to get out there and say, well, this doesn't say that this is legal, so we're going to restrict that. And I would just be like, you guys got to dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure that you show all your work and all this other stuff.
It's implicit in the structure of our government. The philosophical basis of American government is everything is allowed
unless it's prohibited.
It's forbidden.
Right.
Right. Whereas but in Europe, the basis is often everything is forbidden until it's allowed.
That's right. But, I mean, when you're dealing with leftists and George Soros-funded people, you know. Anyway.
I mean, to say that the legislature hasn't done their job, the Constitution, both the U.S. Constitution and the Michigan Constitution, says that there's the right to arms.
Sure. But, you know, not according to the Soros-funded in-place puppets.
No, exactly.
So that's where the problem comes, is because elections count. They matter. We're coming up on the break. You can catch Dean's stuff by going to Ammoland.com. Look at all contributors. Dean will be in the middle on the left-hand side when you get to that Dean Weingarten. Well over 1,600 articles there waiting on you right now. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. what's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need. We didn't invent concealment. We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation to supporting detoxification to stabilization of blood sugar and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. I want to ask you a question before I turn it back over to you, if I may, simply because when I see you write about something, I don't think you actually undertake writing about it until you figure out the story is legitimate.
Yes, well, I try to do that. Obviously, humans are fallible, so sometimes I make mistakes.
Sure.
But that is certainly one of the big things I attempt to do, and I try to be factual and truthful in my writing, and also I have a point of view, and everybody understands that, so I believe that's all right.
Yep, I agree with you. Now here's my question to you. Have you seen where this lawyer for QLLC has gotten out there and put out a letter that some people have gotten a hold of, where he's making a theory about what's the next thing that the ATF is going to do in connection with pistol brace weapons? Have you seen that? Have you seen where they're talking about?
Yes, I can't say that I've analyzed it, but I have seen it and briefly skimmed it. Is all I can say that I did. It, to me, on a brief skimming, it seemed like informed speculation. Let me put it that way.
Right. Except right now, there's a lot of people that have picked this up. And I don't know if they skimmed it or what they did, but they didn't come up with the same conclusion that you've come up with. They're out there reporting about this like this is... And then when you point out to them, hey, look, this is just speculation, then, you know, in some cases, I've seen... Like, I saw the Truth About Guns get out there and try to defuse that, and everybody's like... Yeah, well, the ATF is probably going to do it anyway because they're a rogue thing. And see, my problem with this is that we've got an election next week.
Yes.
We need to be concentrating on getting Trump reelected. And I think this whole thing with the whole Q Honey Badger thing, I think this is decisively demonstrated to him and to his administration and their DOJ, who reached out and got this 60-day letter thing started, that these guys are sort of loose cannons. And I think
right.
he will
that's,
probably...
That's my,
yeah.
My interpretation is the same.
He's likely to fire the acting head of the ATF. He's likely to appoint a permanent head of the ATF that he picks. This time around, it won't be one of the swamp creatures. He'll pick somebody out that he thinks will do it. And, you know, it'll be a better thing altogether, but... The one thing that they need to do is if they're going to make a decision on something, they need to move on after they make the decision, up or down. You know, if a pistol braced AR-15
right.
is an SBR, call it that, be done with it. Let's
move
on.
And this is where the ATF has never been very good at. They have been opaque. Their decisions have not been transparent. They issue conflicting decisions that are not on public record. It's just a problem that the agency has had for decades. Now, it didn't happen as often, I would say, 30, 40 years ago, because people just weren't trying to get anything done because they didn't believe anybody would take it seriously.
Right.
So now there are more and more... I don't know whether we should call them attacks, but attempts to come to some sort of reasonable way around most of the absolutely inane and stupid restrictions of the National Firearms Act, which, you know, you can't look at them logically without saying, why did we do this? This does not make any sense at all, at least not now.
Right.
And so people are trying to figure out ways to get around those restrictions without violating the law. And the pistol brace is one of those, and so is, let's see, there was the bump stock was another potential way around. I mean, ideally, the Congress would just, or the courts would say, you can't just completely ban a whole class of firearms by saying no more can be made for the civilian population in the U.S., which is what happened in 1986. That's a very recent, relatively recent decision, and I think the court should strike it down. But we need to reform the whole NFA. Now, that's not going to happen if Biden wins the election.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, it just doesn't matter. Everything else won't matter. If Biden wins the election, he will make sure that does not happen.
Yeah.
If Trump wins the election, it's a possibility that it might be struck down a couple different ways.
It'll, you know, they were talking about voter intimidation in Michigan. When Barack Obama got elected in 2008, they had voter intimidation in Philadelphia.
Right.
They had those yahoos that were there with the billy clubs talking about you guys are gonna be there's gonna be a black man in charge, everything's changing today, that kind of stuff. Which, you know, I don't know how they thought that guy got elected, because it wasn't just because of the black population. A lot of white people voted for him, too. But they were there intimidating, and I think one of the guys that's currently looking into the whole Steele dossier and the Russia collusion hoax, was it Durham?
I had read that, yeah, I read there was another look at that. But similarly, to tie this into Michigan, Michigan has a voter intimidation law.
Right.
You're not allowed to intimidate voters. So
sure.
It's already covered. They didn't need a separate ban on open carry.
Well, did they, have they ever had? How long has open carry been in place in Michigan?
It's always there's never been a ban on open carry in Michigan.
So they're trying to do things a la California, where they solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Well, it in their head it exists. They make excuses. Remember, people on the left create a different universe in their minds.
Sure.
Than we live in.
Yeah.
And in the story, the narrative that's been pushed on the left is that you have all these heavily armed militia members that are out intimidating and attacking people, and they're doing all this nasty stuff, when it's just projection of what the left is actually doing.
Yeah.
And you don't, and then they say that that's a problem, so we have to create more regulation. But it really isn't a problem.
Nope.
In fact, if you look at open carry and demonstrations, they're some of the most peaceful and law-abiding demonstrations you see.
And sanitary. They clean up. They leave it better than they found it. But anyway.
Even when the left predicts there's going to be huge amounts of violence and, killing, like in Virginia with their lobby day, it just never happened.
Right. Hang on for me if you would. I got one more question to ask you in regards to that when we get back. Now, Dean, Freddie Real at Ammoland, who knows a thing or two about who reads what at Ammoland. And Ammoland is in the top 800 websites on the planet. Freddie Real says that more people read Dean's stuff than any other writer in the gun culture, gun industry space. And I agree with that. And you can find a very large archive of stuff at Ammoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real-world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
Franklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Wall Street having its worst day since June. The Dow losing triple digits for the third straight day, falling 943 points to close at 26,519. The S&P also dropping 119 points. President Trump hitting the campaign trail in Arizona, the president with a stop in Bullhead City.
This is the single biggest election, in my opinion, and I never thought I'd say it, in the history of our country.
Also in the Grand Canyon State, vice presidential nominee Senator Kamala Harris spending time in Tucson discussing the president's response to the coronavirus pandemic.
He was told it is five times more deadly than the flu. He was told it would hurt people of every age. He was told it was airborne. And he sat on that information.
USA Radio News. More than 1,000 looters in Philadelphia raided Walmart, Dollar Tree, Foot Locker, and several other retail stores in a second night of unrest following the death of Walter Wallace Jr. Rioters also confronted police officers, injuring 30 members of law enforcement. White House Communications Director Alyssa Farrow tells Fox News the president is keeping his eye on the situation.
The White House has been in contact with the governor's office. We're monitoring the situation. We're prepared to make resources available if necessary. Governor Wolf did call up the state National Guard, which we think was a wise decision to do, just to quell this unrest.
Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom has imposed big restrictions on the celebration of Thanksgiving. The California Department of Health insists that all gatherings must be held outside, and gatherings that include three or more households are prohibited. Also, all food must be in single-serve disposable dishes. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Live. This is Lock and Load. And we are speaking with Dean Weingarten. And I was bringing up this thing where sometimes we seem to get distracted by the shiny thing, which is, hey, listen, if you know, I get the idea that we should be on the alert for watching all of these little things that pop up. But is it, and I ask you this as someone who is a publisher, I would never put something like that out. If I would consider that malfeasant to put that out, if it was, you know, getting out there making out like the ATF has done this, when the ATF hasn't done this. This is a speculative thing where a guy is saying it could.
People can speculate as long as they label it speculation. The original source, I thought, said it was speculation.
Yes, well, I mean, the YouTube videos do not seem to be speculating. John Crump wrote something on Amalab where he mentions that it is speculation, but the YouTube videos...
Crump is a colleague of mine, and I have a lot of respect for him. He's got some great sources, and he writes
pretty good.
Well.
Yeah, he's pretty investigative, and he doesn't write about anything, I don't think, unless it's real either, so... Should we be doing
that? I write about speculative stuff, label it, you know, this is what I think the plan is, this is what I think they're trying to do, you know, that type of thing, even though there may not be legislative in the works right now, I think
right.
We can speculate that way, sort of, you know, a strategy speculation is certainly allowed. And in a sense, what's dangerous is what you mentioned, is where they don't say this is speculation. I am certain this is what's going to happen, or this is what's going to happen, not even implying that they're making a judgment. Now, that's not good writing or journalism, because you're stating something that really isn't true. You may be certain it's going to happen, but it's your judgment about what's going to happen, not some document or written testimony or recording of somebody saying this who's in a position of power. I think we can make informed speculation about the sorts of things that are likely to happen if President Trump doesn't get elected. I do it all the time.
Sure.
But as long as you have to label it, you have to let people know that you're speculating, that you're not, don't have a source and good reason to believe that this is actuality.
Well, let me give you an example. I don't remember, and I think maybe you and I have talked about this before, but I keep coming back to this simply because it just seems to sort of prove itself, right? I don't remember which NRA annual meeting it was that they decided to introduce CarryGuard.
Ah, yes.
But when they introduced CarryGuard, when they did their little thing with USCCA and Second Call Defense, there was an article that was written by another colleague of yours, David Kodrew. And it was in AmmoLand, and what we were talking about in that, because they were quoting me, Alan Gottlieb, Mark Walters, and Sean Maloney from Second Call Defense. Because
I think I remember.
Yeah. So that's out there, and it's all coming out, and everywhere you look is CarryGuard. Can't go anywhere without seeing CarryGuard. But then while we're there, we suddenly hear about this scandal where Rock River Arms and Springfield Armory have sold the gun owners of Illinois down the river because their lobbyists got the same carve-out that Walmart got, and it helped them to do business a little bit easier in the state of Illinois where they reside. And rather than them pull up stakes and move and put a bunch of people out of jobs and everything, they're loyal to their employees. And to me, they're just doing what it takes to exist in Illinois. But we had all these YouTubers get out there, and I'm a YouTuber too, but we had all these YouTubers getting out there saying they have sold the gun owners of Illinois down the river. And that thing took hold, but then when you look at the long-term effect of what that was, that never went anywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
It came and it passed, but then CarryGuard comes out, and CarryGuard happens, and in New York State, first they call it murder insurance, and then that was the basis behind them going after the NRA in the first place anyway, because they were selling insurance without a license to sell insurance in New York State.
Yes. Well, let me give you my opinion,
sure,
if you don't mind.
I do.
And that
mind.
Is, we are entering, in the first 40, 50 years of the Republic, well, actually, almost the first 100, we had a situation in publishing where just about anybody could scrape up a few dollars, could buy a printing press and paper and start publishing a newspaper. And a lot of people did. And the better ones were able to make a living at it. And almost all of them were partisan. They were distinctly for a particular party or faction or another. And they knew it. A lot of them carried names, like, the Democrat Tennessean or something like that. And or some of them had Republican later on. You know, the Republican Party wasn't formed, until 1854. But the point was, it was a partisan press. Almost everybody, there might have been a few morons who didn't, but everybody understood it was partisan. And so when you read it with a jaundiced eye and say, well, what is this other guy saying? You know, is this true or not? I think we are re-entering a situation where we have partisan press and lots of press, and anybody with the ability to type and formulate a sentence or two, or just to speak on YouTube, you don't even have to know how to type or read to make a YouTube video, is creating another part of a partisan press where you have thousands of little press outlets out there that anybody can go to, and you know they're all competing with each other, and some of them make a little money and some of them don't. But they just do it because they need to or want to. So we've re-entered into a period of partisan media where no longer do a few media giants, or at the height of media concentration, which I would say was about 1994, or maybe it's even later if you count how much Google and Facebook and Twitter have conglomerated control over the information flow. But I would say about 1994, were just a few media giants, and the journalism schools particularly and this philosophy of progressivism took over almost all of the media so that they all had the same opinions. There was no longer any partisan press because they all were on one side, progressivism side. And now with the Internet and with Rush Limbaugh breaking up talk radio or creating new talk radio, really, and then lots of people, you know, working on his example and doing more, we broke this oligopoly in the media and this messiness of a bunch of YouTubers stating stuff to get, you know, clickbait and not really having a good source for it is just part of the whole process. We just have to learn to live with it. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. I just, you know, when we're in
yeah,
this...
Yeah, I understand. Everybody would love it if we had a godlike media that would make pronouncements that were only factual, but it's not the nature of reality.
Well, see, I'm not talking about the media at large. I expect the media at large has become a PR arm of the left.
Democrat Party, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The,
I'm talking about
the media.
I'm talking about the friendly fire we've got going on.
I understand that.
Yeah. So.
And I think mostly what happens is you get a natural sorting out. People look at sources and they read them or they watch the YouTube, and you know, some gain credibility, some lose credibility. I think you and I have gained credibility.
Of course. That's
because we try to be very careful about what we put out.
We try to be very careful, and we, you know, we also aren't. I'm not afraid of doing a retraction on the air because I've done so many of them. But you hang on for me. You hang on for me, if you will. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. You can find his stuff at amoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Last time on the firing line. Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. We've been speaking with Dean Weingarten all the way up to this point. I throw it to you because I know there's some stuff that hasn't been published yet. And is there anything that hasn't been published yet that you would like to discuss?
Well, we can discuss here. You know, a big topic would be what's going to happen with Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court.
Ah.
Because she has been confirmed and sworn in, and, you know, she'll start work relatively shortly. If she hasn't been in the court, maybe she's at the court today working. And a big difference in the court is that there will probably be enough originalist votes now to start taking Second Amendment cases. They've only heard one, maybe two, depending on how you think about it, real Second Amendment cases in the last 10 years. There were about almost a dozen cases, well, about 10, 11, I think, lined up that just a couple of months ago, the court, in a broad swath, just said, we're not going to hear these cases. And they were all prime Second Amendment cases about significant questions on the reach of the Second Amendment that the court was not willing to hear. And I think that the dynamic was this, that there were four justices on the court who were originalists and who would wanted to hear Second Amendment cases. And then there were four justices on the court who were what I would call progressives, who wanted to hear Second Amendment cases, but they wanted to gut Heller and McDonald and render the Second Amendment essentially meaningless.
Right.
And then there was Chief Justice Roberts. And neither side knew for certain how Chief Justice Roberts might vote on a Second Amendment case. So the four progressives wouldn't vote to hear a Second Amendment case because they didn't know how John Roberts would vote. And the four originalists and textualists didn't vote to hear a Second Amendment case because they didn't know how John Roberts would vote.
Right.
Well, now we have one less progressive, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, was a progressive power on the court. And we have one more originalist and textualist that Amy Coney Barrett is almost certainly going to be an originalist power on the court. And so that means that there almost certainly are four justices that are originalists who will vote to hear Second Amendment cases because they don't have to worry about which way John Roberts is going to go because they can have five originalists without him.
Well, the thinking is on this, and you tell me what you think. The thinking is that John Roberts will probably vote with them on Second Amendment matters, because then he gets to pick who writes the majority opinion. And he wants
I think that's probably the way to bet.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. I mean, I don't know what motivates John Roberts. He's become difficult for me to understand, because he seems to want to side with the progressives, but he doesn't want to, like, completely tell them that they're right. I mean, it's just, it's weird. The Obamacare ruling that he did, when was it, back in 2013? I'm not sure. That basically saved Obamacare from being ruled unconstitutional was opaque. It doesn't make any real sense. One part of it. Go ahead.
You mean when he described the mandate as a tax?
Yes, but earlier he said it wasn't a tax.
Right. So, you know,
I mean, it was like, what is this? It doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense from a progressive viewpoint either. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, well, what do you mean? The federal government can do anything they want with any type of commerce. We ruled that back way in the 30s, you know. But John Roberts wasn't willing to take it that far, probably
right,
because it is so far from constitutionalism. So, you know, I just can't wrap my head around where he is coming from. And so I think you're right. I think, and that is, I believe, going to be the conventional wisdom. We'll just have to wait to see what comes with these polls. But instead of voting on a 4-5 decision with the progressives, he'll vote 6-3 with the originalist, and then he gets, as Chief Justice, he gets to decide who writes the opinion. And
yeah,
he may decide he wants to write it himself.
Sure.
And then he gets to write a more wishy-washy opinion.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. And you know, one of the things I liked Scalia when he, and I'm sorry that he died prematurely and everything else, and at the same time, the way he wrote the Heller opinion left so many doors. It's like what's happening in Michigan, where they're out there saying, well, it doesn't say that it is legal to carry that, so we can make it illegal. He got out there and he said, well, you know, it is subject to regulation.
Right. And that's not necessarily hugely bad, but there's that phrase in there, you know, long-standing laws that is hard to interpret. And that was put in, we know now, deliberately in order to get Justice Kennedy's vote. Because it was, I think it was Stevens who wrote about it later. Was it Justice Stevens? I'm trying to remember.
He was trying to siphon votes out, yeah.
And he said that, you know, he convinced Justice Kennedy to hold out for putting that phrase in, which, of course, opens up all these exceptions you're talking about.
Yep.
And that it wasn't originally going to be in there. Scalia wasn't going to put it in there, but that was the only way he could get Kennedy's vote. I mean, that's now a matter of public record, so we know now that there is horse trading that goes on in the court. Well, if you do this, I'll vote for it, and that kind of thing. But that becomes more problematic when you have five originalist justices. You know, they can, to a certain extent, hold Robert's feet to the fire.
Yeah, they don't have to get out there and make any deals.
Right.
So,
but he will still get to, if he joins the majority, he will still be able to decide who writes the decision, and that can be important.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll be the way it goes, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes when it happens.
Now, to get out of the weeds a little bit more towards substance, we don't know what cases will come before the court first, but there's some issues that seem obvious. One is for the court to tell the appellate courts that carry outside the home is a protected part of the Second Amendment right.
Sure.
I think that'll happen. I mean,
settled
some
law
type of that. Yeah, exactly. But there's, you know, there are about 8 states that egregiously violate that just don't allow most people to be able to carry outside the home. And the rest of the states, you can argue, well, you know, they have, you have to get a permit, but the permit's really easy to get. They don't prevent anybody to get it except people who've got criminal records or things like that. You know, you could argue that, and I'm not sure if that might not prevail. But, there's a huge difference between getting a carry permit in Wisconsin and getting a, trying to get a carry permit in, say, New Jersey or Hawaii. So that, the Hawaiian case, which is Young versus the state of Hawaii, I think you've had,
Stephen Samuel,
the attorney back on there several times, I think.
Yeah, and Stephen.
And that seems to me a great case to go before the court, but it's in the process of, they heard the oral arguments, I think, a few weeks ago.
Well, I mean,
I wrote about that.
Yeah, but I would think now that, I don't remember, and we're about to run out of time, but do you remember when Washington, D.C. had lost their last appeal and everybody said, don't you dare take it any further, just do shall issue? I think now they might be looking at that and saying, well, we're not going to kick it back to them.
Yeah, it is a possibility. I think the Ninth Circuit might do that.
Yeah.
It could happen.
So, but before, I presume you will be with me Friday, sir?
I intend to, barring misadventure.
There you go. Well, me as well. You can catch Dean's stuff at amoland.com. Thank you very much, sir, for joining me this evening.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Yes, sir. Back again in 21 hours between now and then. Remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. Your time is coming next week, America. Stand by. This has been Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality controls second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American made to the highest standard.
At STI, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.